Welcome back to this episode of the Beaver Dam. I am your host, Trent Mast, joined along with Patrick Spillman. Pat, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Trent?
You know, it's been a crazy Monday. We had soccer lifting here a little bit ago. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm actually pretty sore this week.
Yeah, these soccer workouts are definitely kicking my butt. So it's nice to be able to sit back and relax a little bit and talk about some sports.
Yeah, I mean, really, I never was really big on lifting until I came to college. And I mean, now I enjoy it, but it's just afterwards just kicks my butt.
I'm really hoping that all this lifting is going to help out next season and have us help and get a winning record next year.
Oh, yeah, you and me both. So today on the show, we're going to be talking a little bit about the NFL and what's going on as it's wrapping up this Sunday with the Super Bowl. Then we'll move on, talk a little bit about what's happening in the NBA. And then just one little thing about soccer. I know it's not soccer season here at Bluffton, but soccer is played pretty much year-round all over the world, so stuff's always happening there. And then, of course, we will go into talking about Bluffton athletics.
I'm excited to talk about it, and there's definitely a lot of stuff going on in the sports world, so should be an entertaining hour for sure.
So, in the NFL, yesterday was the Pro Bowl, and I'd never actually watched a Pro Bowl. I watched a little bit of it yesterday in the room. And to me, it seemed, I mean, yeah, they're the best players, some of the best players in the NFL. So, yeah, it's fun to watch, and they all come from different teams. And it's just a different game, but it seemed like the game was just more so for entertainment and just for those guys to go out there and have fun. And I really liked just watching them because, yes, they were taking it seriously, but it was just different and not like people weren't getting hard hits. I mean, I love watching a hard hit here and there, but just some guys out there playing the sport they love and just having fun with it was really fun to watch.
If you watch the Pro Bowl to watch football, then you're going to be incredibly disappointed because, in my opinion, the Pro Bowl is just a straight joke. Mm-hmm. I've never really had an interest in the Pro Bowl ever since they moved it from Hawaii down to Orlando. The weather wasn't even great yesterday. It was raining. To be honest with you, it didn't even look like those guys were having that good of fun. And I laugh because some of the best players in the NFL are running backs, and running backs literally touch the ball maybe two or three times the entire Pro Bowl because the second it even looks like they're going to be tackled, the refs blow a whistle because they don't want an injury in the Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. So I laugh at the Pro Bowl. So when we were watching last night, I was laughing the entire afternoon just at the Pro Bowl and Ezekiel Elliott being one of the best running backs in the league, obviously from Ohio State. And I think he probably had a negative 20 yards carrying the ball. It felt like just because he didn't even really get a run. So, you know, the Pro Bowl to me is a joke, but I'm definitely excited for this Super Bowl. Being a Colts fan, man, I hate the Patriots, so I'm a Rams fan this weekend, Trent. I don't know about you.
Well, I'm a Browns fan, and I mean, they had a lot better season this year than they usually do, so that was exciting to watch for me. But, yeah, I agree with you on that. I've never really been a Patriots fan. I mean, they've been really good, and I just want to see someone else in there and playing that game that week, but they're in there this week. So, we got to watch them. I mean, you told me earlier, Patriots are favored by 2.5 points going in over the Rams. So, we'll just have to watch and see what happens on Sunday.
Yeah, Bill Belichick being the longest tenured coach in the NFL, versus Sean McVay, who is the youngest coach in the NFL. So, it should be exciting. Two offensive-minded guys. There's a lot of controversy on whether or not the Rams really deserve to be in there, so I could see the Rams being fired up, ready to play, to prove doubters wrong that they do deserve to be there, mm-hmm. And I'm rooting for them, Trent. You know, I definitely wanted the Saints to beat the Rams last weekend, but being a Colts fan and getting beaten up by the Patriots year after year, man, I'd just love to get a spanking.
Yeah. And that game will be played at 6:30 on CBS. So if you can, tune in, watch the Super Bowl. And now in the NBA, there's a couple things happening with some of the really big names in the NBA. LeBron James has been injured with a groin injury, and he is not back yet. I read something today saying he's projected to be back within 7 to 10 days, so that's a good thing. The Lakers are really struggling right now without LeBron, so he'll be a big help.
And the saddest news in the NBA, being a big Pacers fan, Victor Oladipo hurt his knee. He is out for the season. And Trent, let me tell you, my heart broke when I got the notification on my phone saying that he went down with a knee injury and they had to take him out on a stretcher. I was almost taken to tears. But he's out for the season, obviously. He had surgery today, and the Pacers did come out and say that the surgery was successful. There still isn't a timetable for his return, but obviously they're going to try and take time. And I heard something that the Pacers would be smart just to have him wait and really until the 2021 season, just to let him recover all next season, because coming back from a knee injury like that is just gruesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then one cool thing that the Indiana Pacers franchise is doing is that they have a shirt on every single chair at the stadium tonight that says "Together for Victor." Victor Oladipo obviously wore number 4. So I think the shirts are pretty cool. The Pacers are playing the Warriors, which are obviously the number 1 team in the West. And at the time, the Pacers were up in the top 4 on the East, really having a good chance to make a run in the playoffs. And now this obviously is going to definitely hurt the Pacers.
And we always love to see an organization behind their players. So just them doing this, what seems to me be a small thing, probably for them, just making some shirts and setting them out for the fans to wear, probably is a really big thing for Victor Oladipo. I mean, I know if I was a player and that happened to me, it would just feel heartwarming to have an organization, my bad, that is just behind me and supporting me through an injury.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's going to be a tough road for him to get back, so any little thing that can kind of cheer him up and keep him positive and optimistic is definitely going to be good for his journey back to being full strength.
And then we have Anthony Davis. Notification came across my phone earlier today that said that he does not want a contract extension and that he has requested for a trade. Mm-hmm. So that's another big name that wants to move organizations. And
yeah, there was big news earlier in the year when Anthony Davis fired his agent and then hired, obviously, LeBron James's agent. So there was a lot of speculation on whether he was going to go to the LA Lakers. He's under contract for the rest of this season and next season, so which is exactly why I think he's looking at what Paul George did a little bit, and he doesn't want the organization to just completely lose him. So he's kind of telling them, hey, I'm not going to re-sign with you guys. I'm going to go look to find a team where I can actually have a chance to win a championship. So I think what he's trying to do is help the organization out a little bit by allowing them to get some pieces back. But I think a lot of teams are going to start giving the Pelicans some pretty low trades just because they know Anthony Davis doesn't really want to be there. But it'd be definitely interesting to see if the Lakers, they have a lot of young guys, what they could do and what type of trade they could give the Pelicans to maybe bring Anthony Davis to the Lakers and help LeBron compete against the Golden State Warriors, who just, now that Boogie Cousins is back, I feel like the Warriors are almost unstoppable. They're on a super long win streak.
Yeah, and there was another thing with the NBA tampering rules. The Pelicans have requested that they strictly enforce the rules in that no team has contact with Anthony Davis without going through their organization first. So just keep an eye out for what happens there and where Anthony Davis ends up within the next couple weeks, month. And then James Harden, he has been having one heck of a season so far. He now has 23 games straight with at least 30 points in each and every one of those games.
Yeah, that's crazy to be able to have a stat exactly like that. And I was reading that the last three or four games, he has every single point that he has scored has been unassisted, which means that he's creating his own shot, which, in my opinion, I feel like it would be a lot easier to defend just because you don't have to worry about him getting a pass or getting a fast break, you know, pass from one of his teammates. He's creating all the shots off the dribble. But the only thing that worries me is that our team's going to start adapting to realize what James Harden's doing, and are they going to start double teaming him to force other players to beat them? Because at this point, it almost seems like James Harden's unstoppable.
Yeah, and there was one game a couple weeks ago, I don't remember who it was against, but James Harden himself had more points than the rest of his team combined.
Yeah, the game where he had 61 points. Yeah. That was crazy. And Chris Paul's getting ready to, I think he just returned in a game or two ago, which definitely helps space the ball out when you have a point guard like that, but he's obviously on restricted minutes recovering from an injury. So I think once Chris Paul gets back into the thing and to the thick of things, I really believe that the ball will start to be passed around more, and that's going to allow James Harden to take a little bit of weight off his shoulders from scoring. So big news for USA Soccer, as their brand new coach Greg Berhalter gets his first win and his first game as a United States coach. Obviously, a lot of people here in Ohio know him as the former Columbus Crew coach, and obviously we want to see the United States do well. And this January camp is full of just Major League Soccer players, so the big names that people might know, Christian Pulisic, the guys that play over in Europe, they're not even with the team right now, which is huge. That just these MLS guys, these young guys, there was a guy who played his first ever international team on the actual varsity national team, who scored his first goal in his first game, which is huge. You know, that builds confidence. It allows these guys to get experience. And even though it was just against Panama and they won 3-0, they can take this in. So then when the Gold Cup's this summer, obviously qualifying for the World Cup is going to be in a few years, but allowing these guys to get experience at the national level is going to be huge for the United States, because no one wants to see the U.S. not be in the World Cup again in 4 years.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a quick short break here, and then we'll be back talking about Bluffton Sports and how they did over the weekend, starting off with the men's and women's track team, moving on to the men's basketball team, and then finishing off the show talking about the women's basketball team. You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
Welcome back to the Beaver Dam. I am your host, Trent Mass, joined along with Patrick Spillman, and we just finished talking about what is going on in sports outside of Bluffton with the NFL, the NBA, and then a little bit about the United States soccer team, the men's soccer team. We're going to dive right in here into Bluffton University track and field. So the Bluffton University track and field team continued their season with several great performances at the Finley Alumni Classic and Elite Throws event on Friday and Saturday, January 25th and 26th. Their meet got started in a big way on Friday when junior Alexis Cash added her name to the record books in the 5,000 meter running with a time of 18 minutes 45.6 seconds, which is a second better than Allison Jansen, who held the record from her race in 2013. Cash finished fourth in that race on Friday night.
A second record was broken to highlight this day on Saturday as sophomore Bailey Barrington ran a time of 1 minute and 47 seconds in the 600 meters, breaking a record set 13 years ago by Ashley Smith. Barrington won her heat and finished fourth overall. Earlier in the day, Barrington had earned an automatic qualifier time of 5 minutes and 31 seconds in the mile run as she also ran a personal best by 5 seconds. She finished 12th out of 25 runners in her event. Senior Jenny Madison and sophomore Kimberly Hetrick ran 5,000 meter times of 1940 and 2027, respectively, and also got an automatic qualifying times for the upcoming HCAC championships.
The field events also saw several great performances as a trio of Beavers automatically qualified for the HCAC championships. Sophomore Remy Bauer and freshman Kayla Ferguson finished 8th and 9th by clearing 1.48 meters, 4 feet, 10 and a quarter inches, while sophomore Sarah Heidinger cleared 1.43 meters, 4 feet, 8 and a quarter inches, to also earn an automatic qualifier.
Sophomore Tori Bowen earned the HCAC provisional mark in the pole vault on Friday with a best vault of 3.42 meters, which is around 11 feet and 2.5 inches, to finish 7th in the event. Highlighting the weekend on the men's side was freshman Brandon James, who became the first Beaver to compete in the heptathlon and finished in a tie of fourth place with 3,912 points as the only Division III athlete in the field.
The men also added a handful of HCAC qualifiers in several field events this weekend. Junior Justin Kaufman did so in the pole vault with his fourth place finish at 4.28 meters, 14 feet and half an inch. Freshman Noah Judd qualified in the long jump with his leap of 6.5 meters, 21 feet, 4 inches. On the thrower side, John Jones hit a provisional mark in the weight throw with the 8th place toss of 14.54 meters, 47 feet, 8.5 inches.
On the track, sophomore Omar Warlick had a superb performance with a 4th place finish in the 200-meter dash with a time of 23.6 seconds in the field of 29 runners. Warlick added an 11th place finish in the 60-meter dash with a time of 7.31 seconds. The top performance for the distance crew came from junior Connor Golick, who finished 18th out of 37 runners in the men's mile with a time of 4 minutes and 40 seconds. Bluffton will continue its indoor slate on Saturday, February 2nd, at the Joe Banks Invitational on the campus of ONU, Ohio Northern University. Field events are set to begin at 11 a.m., with running events kicking off an hour later at the ONU Sports Center in Ada. Go and support your Beavers.
And like we said last week, it seems like week after week we're saying the same thing about this track and field team, but they continue to get better and better as each week comes and another meet goes by. I mean, we had two records broken on the women's side this year with this year, but on their side, I mean, Alexis Cash with hers and then Bailey Barrington with hers. And just as we read through, we had a lot of girls on the women's side of things already automatically getting into the HCAC championship, which that's a big thing because that'll help them compete and hopefully win that HCAC championship.
Yeah, it's huge. The new track coach this year has definitely helped, and I think adding the new cross country coach has kind of allowed her to focus on more of the throwing events and the short distance, and allows him to work with the long distance runners, and it really allows these athletes to get hands-on experience with coaches. And you can see just with already two records being broken, and it's this early in the season already. Yeah. So we aren't even to conference yet. I think that both those girls can probably beat their own records, and honestly, we could see a few more records be brought down in the future. The future is definitely bright for this Bluffton University track team, especially with a lot of underclassmen all returning next year. And with this being the track coach's first season, they'll have a whole year under her belt. So next year, this track team is going to be really scary, but I think this year they even really have a chance to compete. Yeah. I think they're projected fourth preseason on both the men's and women's, but honestly, in track, it just kind of depends on the day of who shows up.
Yeah, I mean, they're just out there running, throwing, jumping, and they're doing their best, and it's showing. I mean, they're placing as individuals pretty high, which that's in turn going to help their team place higher and higher in the meets. And we do wish them luck as they go over to ONU just 20 or so minutes away and compete there this weekend. Now, on to the men's basketball side. Bluffton University men's basketball team dropped an HCAC road clash at conference-leading Hanover College 78-55 on Saturday. Bluffton struggled out of the gate as the Panthers opened up a 14-2 spread when Cam Falls nailed a three-pointer less than 3 minutes into the contest. The Beavers never led during the game, falling to 14-5 overall and 8-4 in the Heartland Conference, while Hanover improved to 15-4 overall and 10-2 in the HCAC.
The Beavers' first bucket came on a Justice Dowdy jump shot that made the score 4-2 in favor of the Panthers. Bluffton went scoreless for the next 2-plus minutes, and the visitors never recovered. After poor shooting first half, the Beavers went into the break down 48-29 and had some major work to do in the second half if a comeback was to be made. Although Bluffton never gave in, Hanover's early onslaught was too much for the Beavers to overcome.
Bluffton was led by Dowdy, who netted 18 on a superb 8 of 10 shooting on the afternoon, including 2 of 3 from outside the arc. Freshman Jameel Cosby dropped in 8 of his own on 4 of 7 from the field. He also pulled down a team-high 6 rebounds in the loss. Junior Andrew Renner checked in with 3 steals, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists.
The Beavers shot 24 of 47 from the field, shooting 51.1% compared to Hanover shooting 57.8%, going 26 of 45 from the field. Bluffton struggled from outside the arc, going 4 of 16 for only a 25% shooting percentage, as where the Panthers were 10 of 20 for a 50% three-point percentage. The Beavers had 14 turnovers compared to only 11 for the Panthers, and Hanover led the rebounding battle 28-22.
Yeah, Saturday was just not a very good game for this Beaver men's team, and I know they had a lot of good games this season. I mean, their record is still pretty good, but just going on the road and playing the top team in the conference of Hanover and just not performing well, I mean, that's really gonna probably get them down a little bit because they had been playing really well. And right there, I mean, on Saturday, they didn't have the best day shooting. And I mean, in the first half, it was 48-29 at the end of it. And then the second half, it was a little closer. I mean, second half, Bluffton scored 26. Hanover, the Panthers scored 30, so their defense stepped up and their offense was still going pretty well, but it just never, once they fell behind, they were just playing catch up from the start.
Yeah, and these Beavers have a tough road test ahead, obviously this past Saturday going to Hanover. This Wednesday they go to Mount St. Joseph, who is always going to be a tough game. You know, other than Defiance, I'd say Mount is probably our second biggest rival in the conference. And then they have another long bus ride down to Rose Holman, who is second place in the conference right now. So for these Beavers, it's not going to get any easier. So they just kind of have to put this game in the back of their minds and get ready for Wednesday, because though Mount St. Joseph isn't having the greatest of years, they're going to push these Beavers to the test, and especially being a road game, Bluffton's going to have to show up and pull out a win here and gain a little bit of confidence going into Saturday at Rose Holman.
Yeah, and just like you said, Wednesday their game is at Mount St. Joseph, and we talked to Aaron Rich. He lives on our floor. He lives right next door to us, and we were talking to him the other day, and he said it's really hard to play at Mount, just their atmosphere and their gym. It's just really hard gym to play in. But I know hopefully after the game on Saturday, they're refocusing. I mean, we watched some of their practice today before we came in the studio, and they were really working hard and working some different things that they're going to need in the next upcoming games. And we just wish them the best of luck this Wednesday and on Saturday, and hopefully they can get a winner or two. That would be ideal, but just going in there and playing the best brand of basketball that they can play, and just let the game from Saturday, like you said, go into the back of their mind and just forget about it and move on. New games ahead, new work day, just go and get it.
Yeah, you could definitely tell Coach Neal wanted the intensity in practice to be high today, as he wanted these Beavers to work hard, and tomorrow will probably be a lot easier just because of playing on Wednesday. So he knew that they needed to have a good practice today before their game on Wednesday. So hopefully they can gain some confidence. And like we said, the Beavers will be traveling down to Mount St. Joseph. Game's projected to be a 7:30 tip. You know, it's only an hour drive down to Cincy, hour and a half probably. So go down, support your Beavers, and I know they'd appreciate it if you guys could make the trip down.
Yep. Now, onto the women's side of basketball. The Bluffton University women's basketball team lost a high-scoring affair on Saturday, losing 89-80 to the talented Hanover team. The loss dropped the Beavers to 6-13 on the season, 4-8 in the conference. Hanover improved to 13-6 and 9-3 in the HCAC.
The Beavers raced out of the gates to a 4-1 lead after two LJ Ilverson layups. Hanover then responded with a 15-0 run, capped off by a jump shot from Savannah Courtney with about 5.5 minutes left in the quarter, making the score 16-4. The Beavers had an answer, finishing the quarter on a 14-2 run, which included two triples by senior Brianna Graham. The game was not at 18-18 at the end of the first period.
Triples from Nora Heminger and TJ Mills to open up the second quarter gave the Beavers a 24-18 advantage with 8:39 remaining in the first half. Bluffton finished the quarter on a 6-0 run that included 4 points from sophomore Kylie Brock, as the Beavers went into halftime with a 44-35 advantage.
Bluffton continues its success on offense as the visitors put up 19 in the third quarter. However, Hanover found its rhythm as the Panthers found an impressive 28 points in the corner. Hanover drilled 11 of 12 from the free throw line in the third quarter, making the score 63-63 with 10 minutes left in the game.
The Beavers continued to battle, but Hanover was able to make their free throws and shots when they counted most en route to the 89-80 victory, thanks to the 26-17 spread in the fourth. Mills led the Beaver in scoring category with a career tying 22 points, going 3 of 4 from long range and 7 of 8 from the charity stripe. She also dished out a team-high 7 assists and 6 steals. Brock contributed 14 points off the bench. Abby Parkins chipped in with a career-high 12 points for the visitors. Brianna Gillig and Emma Saltzman both pulled down 7 rebounds for the Beavers.
Hanover was led by Alexis Snaw as she scored 34 points while going 11 of 14 from the field and 10 of 11 from the free throw line. Snaw also pulled down 8 rebounds. Kristen Mills scored 15 off the bench for the home team. Malaya Motter had a double-double as she scored 12 points and ripped down a team-high 13 rebounds. Claire Cromer picked up a team-high 5 steals for the Panthers. The Beavers shot 29 of 63 from the field, shooting 46%, as Hanover was 26 of 57, shooting 45.6%. The Beavers were 9 of 22 from behind the arc, shooting 40.9%, as where the Panthers shot 6 of 15 for shooting 40%. Both teams shot very well from the free throw line, as the Beavers were 13 of 16 at an 81.3% free throw rate, as where Hanover was 31 of 39, shooting 79.5%. Bluffton out-rebounded Hanover 36 to 33, while the Panthers did have more assists, leading the assist battle 19 to 16. The Beavers committed 23 turnovers, and the Panthers committed 21 turnovers.
Yeah, yes, the women's team did lose on Wednesday, but they played a really solid game against one of the top teams in the conference.
Well, the big difference, and I feel like, in this game was free throws, Trent. The Beavers only shot 16 free throws to Hanover's 39 free throws. Because if you look at the if you look at the field goal percentage and you look at the 3-point percentage, the Beavers led the Panthers, but the huge difference was from the free throw line. So obviously, playing at home, you never know how exactly the game was called, but it was one of those situations where the Beavers got into some foul trouble, allowed Hanover to shoot a lot of free throws, and that definitely hurt the Beavers. This loss also hurt the Beavers in the fact that they fell out of conference tournament play. They're on a 3-game losing streak. Right now they're in 7th place, and obviously the conference is top 6, but there's still plenty of games to go to where they can find a way to get their way back into the conference tournament.
They played really good basketball. I mean, just fouls were really what killed them, because they sent a lot of Hanover's players to the free throw line, and giving up that many free throws is going to hurt. So just for Wednesday's game, as they are home in the Sommer Center, tip-off will be at 7:30. So if you can, come and support them. But just making sure not to foul that many times and not give them that many shooting fouls to where they can get those extra kind of gimme points, because they shot really well. They shot better from the field than Hanover did, but just defensively, they weren't all there because they were fouling.
Yeah, definitely. So we hope that the Beavers can get back on track with their game on Wednesday against Mount St. Joe, which once again is slated to tip off at 7:30. The Beavers are all these games in the coming future. I know they play at Mount St. Joe. Then they travel down to Rose Holman, who I believe is first in the conference. And then they're going to be playing a few more games. I know Anderson will be at home for, I believe it's senior night that weekend. So Anderson right now is in the 6th spot. So I know the Beavers are definitely trying to get a few wins, get back into the playoffs, and I think they'd even like to try and find a way to get into the top 4 so that way they can host one of the conference games.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing really good basketball. And so right now they just need to focus on keep doing what they're doing and keep the work rate up. They're a younger team, and they've really stepped up there, and they're scoring points off the bench. I mean, last game they outscored Hanover's bench 28-26. So right there, they're just playing really good basketball.
Yeah, so hopefully Trent and I will be calling the game. We're not sure. We're hoping that we will definitely have the game live here for you tonight, or on Wednesday night. Trent and I might be calling the game. It might be James and Floyd. We're not sure yet. I think that will be talked about in our meeting tomorrow. Hopefully, Trent and I can call the game. It'll be my first game getting to call, but I'll be pretty excited to be able to call my first game, and I think it should be pretty exciting to call a girls' game. Obviously, I'm friends with a lot of the girls, so it should be fun to be able to, talk to them. And Trent and I should be on here every Monday night. Obviously, we're planning on being about 45 minutes to an hour. There's always stuff going on in the sports world, so we are always going to try and find different things to talk about here on the Beaver Dam. Obviously, we talked about Victor Oladipo today. We talked about Anthony Davis, James Harden, the USA soccer team, which is big getting a win. You know, Columbus Crew probably were pretty upset for the fact that the USA soccer hired him and they lost him as a coach, but that talks about how good of a coach that the Columbus Crew had in Greg Berhalter. Obviously, being from Indiana, I'm going to pray a lot for Victor Oladipo and his recovery. So hopefully Victor can have a very, very fast rehab and be able to come back. And like I said earlier, go Rams. Definitely do not want the Patriots to win another Super Bowl. I'm not a Tom Brady fan at all. Obviously, Deflategate came out when they were playing against my Indianapolis Colts. So I definitely would love to see the New England Patriots get beat.
And that wraps up this edition of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening. Encourage you to come back and listen to us on Friday. Check out previous podcasts. Search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play, The Wit, 96.1 podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TheBeaverDam961. For more stories and information, check out our website, BlufftonWit.com, and subscribe. This has been Trent Mast, joined along with Patrick Stillman, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit. Roll beat.